640-KYNS.
CBS News, I'm Pam Coulter. The man accused of murdering an unarmed teenager is behind bars, but his attorney is moving to have George Zimmerman released on bond. CBS News senior legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
We knew that eventually there would be a bond hearing to determine whether George Zimmerman is going to stay in jail pending the trial. The attorney at that time, the defense attorney, said that he wanted to allow his client a little bit of time in jail to allow passions to subside. But, you know, within 10 days or so, he is going to come back to the judge and say, look, we are going to post a bond here. We should be allowed to do so. This is not first-degree murder, and George Zimmerman is not a flight risk.
A court teleconference was held this afternoon. The defense is concerned about the trial judge, whose husband works with a lawyer hired as a TV analyst for the case. A ceasefire is supposed to be in effect in Syria, but amateur video appears to show government troops opening fire on populated areas and homes. The UN may send observers to Syria. CBS's Liz Palmer in Damascus.
The feeling is that everything is riding on this ceasefire holding, and if the UN can get in fast, the chances are better that any breaches will be monitored and that there will be an opportunity to try and calm the flames if something does erupt.
U.S. officials told the Associated Press the Obama administration will increase non-lethal aid to the Syrian opposition. There's a lot of concern about what North Korea will do now that it's been embarrassed by a failed rocket launch. North Korea expert Gordon Chang.
Kim Jong-un needs to show that he's in charge. And unfortunately, in the North Korean system, the way to do that is to defy the international community and to engage in provocations, many of them directed against South Korea.
4 days from the tax deadline, and we're getting details on the president's return.
President Obama and Vice President Biden today released their tax returns, and it looks like President Obama will probably pay a higher tax rate on his income than Mitt Romney will. The president earned $789,674 and will pay just 20.5% of his income in taxes.
CBS's Nora O'Donnell. Cory Booker is really a full-service mayor. He didn't wait for the Newark Fire Department when he saw his neighbor's house was on fire last night. On CBS This Morning, Booker said he felt terrified, not brave, when he ran in to rescue her.
It was a feeling of being trapped, and I couldn't see anything but the flames coming out of the kitchen. And I really had this moment where I thought, I think I'm trapped. I think we can't get out.
He was treated for smoke inhalation and burns on his hand. His security detail helped three others escape the flames. Taking a look at Wall Street at this hour, stocks are lower. The Dow is off 77 points. NASDAQ is down 34, and the S&P is off 11. This is CBS News.
Give your car a clean slate this spring with savings from Napa. Stop into any Napa Auto Parts store this April and pick up some Seafoam motor treatment or TransTune on sale for $6.48. That's more than 30% off. To stabilize your fuel, decarbon your engines, and free up your lifters and carb jet. So hurry in and make your car one mean, clean running machine. Keep it clean, guys, just like this radio spot at participating Napa Auto Parts store. Offer expires 4/30/12.
Hello, State Farm.
Hi, can I bundle my auto, home, and life policies together at State Farm?
You could save hundreds, and you can deal with just one State Farm agent.
Just one?
Just me.
I won't be bandied off to some bungling bargain basement bailiwick in East Bumstumble?
Nope, only me.
No BS, no baloney, and no ballyhooed bundling bunkum?
Believe it.
No matter how many policies you have, it can all stay with one State Farm agent.
Bless you.
Better?
Beyond better. Bye.
Bye.
Get to a better state. Call 1-800-STATE-FARM today.
There's a gender gap in certain kinds of car accidents. CBS's Larry Miller on a new federal study.
Men are behind the wheel in about 60% of car accidents, but in crashes caused by mistakenly hitting the gas instead of the brake, two-thirds were caused by older women. The majority of gas pedal accidents happen in parking lots and involve elderly drivers and those under 20. Experts suggest that in young brains, mental processes linked to attention and organizing are the last to develop, while many elderly also perform poorly in these mental processes.
It may be one of the last chances to see a space shuttle airborne. Discovery, riding piggyback on a 747, will arrive in the Washington area Tuesday. The retired orbiter's going on display at the Smithsonian's Air and Space Museum Annex near Dulles Airport. Before landing, the shuttle's expected to fly over Washington landmarks, something normal air traffic is not allowed to do. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just partway. We go full throttle. We won't just sell you some oil. Oh, no. We'll sell you a 5-plus quarts jug of Castrol GTX conventional motor oil and a DriveWorks filter for just $19.99. Plus, you walk out of Advance with a free John Force racing hat valued at $20. A free $20 hat? You're only paying $19.99 for oil. What gives? Actually, Advance does.
Advance Auto Parts.
See store for details.
The weather's getting warmer, and Lowe's has everything you need to make the most of spring. That's why Lowe's offers free delivery on all in-store and online purchases of riding and walk-behind mowers, grills, and patio sets $249 or more. Plus, save more by choosing 18-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more when you use your Lowe's consumer credit card. Lowe's. Never stop improving. Offers valid through 4/16/12. Special financing cannot be combined with 5% off everyday credit offer. See store for details.
It is rasty out today, but the weather was, it said the weekend's supposed to be nice all next week. Supposed to be warmish and sunny and happiness and joy, and we're looking forward to it.
And now, here's Bill Benica.
Talk is cheap. Your friends and neighbors network on 1340 KYNS, your news station. And this is where you're going to get your calcoastnews.com in just a moment with Dan Blackburn. First, I want to tell you this, though. This is Friday the 13th, you know, and you got the thing with the black cat walking on a broken mirror under a ladder. I'm not into superstition, but I revel in suspicion. Dan Blackburn from CalCoastNews.com is on the line today with us. So let's say hi to Dan. How are you doing, Dan?
I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
Good. Thanks for joining me this morning. We have a number of stories that have hit during this last week and all kinds of stuff going on. I said yesterday that I hoped I'd have you or Karen on today one way or the other so that we could clear the air about you were the subject of a news story yesterday, and I thought you just want to comment on that.
Well, yeah, I was the subject of a news story, and I'd say it's a really odd choice of front page news. This was, you know, briefly a discussion in the Tribune about my having contributed a website domain name to a new group that's forming in Paso Robles called Change Paso Robles Now. There was some flap about it. The Tribune wrote a piece about it by Tanya Strickland. And, you know, it was a legitimate story, and she did a good story with what she had to work with, I think. But, as I say, it was an odd choice of front-page news. I mean, because, you know, Bill, this isn't about Dan Blackburn, you know. It's about a group of people in Paso Robles who are well-intentioned, and they're serious, you know, concerned, active residents of Paso Robles. And they're trying to be heard. They're trying to affect the way that their city is managed, you know. So, as I say, it's not about me.
We should mention though that you're a, you know, that you're a resident of Paso Robles.
I am a resident of Paso Robles, absolutely. In fact, I'm probably a resident who has watched as closely as any the antics of city management over the last I've been here 16 years. I think I started paying serious attention probably 10 years ago, and you know, there are some situations in this town that are inarguably different from a lot of other communities, in that we've had a city manager here for a decade and a half, which is probably three times the normal length of time, tenure in a city.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that happens in that amount of time where things, policies, the culture of a city hall get embedded in concrete, and that's kind of what's happened in Paso Robles. There's a definitive group that runs runs this city at a management level. They haven't changed in years, most of them. It's become a rather intractable city government. The people around, I think, have a legitimate cause to question elements of management, and if they decide that those elements are counterproductive to a good community life, I think they're going to be active in trying to change that. So, yeah, I, as a reporter and as a resident of Paso Robles, I have those thoughts and, among me. I think the story in the Tribune might have been better placed in a trade magazine. A lot of people aren't, I wouldn't say aren't concerned, but, you know, this is not a front page countywide newspaper type of story. It might be of interest to people who disagree that I may have taken a step over a line, and I think that's probably a legitimate subject for discussion. I just don't know if the front page of the Trib is a good use of white space.
Here's what's interesting to me. You know, years ago I was at KBC and we had a news department. You know, we had quite a successful news department, and did news morning, noon, and night. And one of the things that I wasn't a newsman. I was responsible for what the news department put out. But one of the things that I always had the feeling of, and I was told by the journalists that I hired, was, you know, the idea of, you know, it's competitive. You know, we were very competitive with the Tribune back then. But they, you know, the attitude of the news directors was the idea is to move a story, get the story out, you know, move a story forward. And if, let's say, the Trib broke the story, but then we, you know, as a news organization, we got another shot, it's another direction, we do that. The other people might take off in another direction. The idea was not to be worried about what the other news organization was doing. It was to say, okay, now how do we, you know, get our finger into this pie and push this along? And,
you know, go ahead.
It seems to me there's a... And I'm going to say the three entities. You know, the TV stations now, of course, with KCOY moving their operation up to Salinas. So you have KUYT, KCOY, and KSBY. They're always kind of trying to outdo each other with who's local and who's the best and all that kind of stuff. And so that you get used to that. But the interesting thing is, and I see this dynamic between Calcos News, New Times, and the Tribune right now. And it's weird to me. It just is kind of weird to me. It's like we're not trying to move a story. We're not trying to find out the story as much as we're trying to say, you know, let me get a mark in the book somewhere and then tell you didn't or you did something wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm uncomfortable. I have to be honest with you. As somebody that's watched the news here for 35 years and been involved in it, I'm uncomfortable with it. I don't understand it. I understand it. I think it's wrong. I'll just come right out to you and say to you, I think it's wrong. I don't think this is what we should be doing with the news.
Well, you know, I agree with you, and let me say that I've worked for big daily newspapers, and then I have worked for smaller weekly community newspapers, which when I joined that type of venue, they were called alternative newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
And those newspapers were as badly accepted by the what we might call the establishment media as I think the Internet media, news media, is these days less receptive or less well received by the existing media. I think it's an adjustment thing. I study the issue enough to know that there are many experts who have many opinions as to why this apparent jealousy or irrational competition exists between the different mediums. So I suppose one day it will be explained. I think it's probably just a case of a bunch of new folks in the neighborhood trying to get used to each other. You know, what you just brought up I think is really interesting because I do think I share with you the view that the story is the thing. Getting important information to the reader is the sole objective. It should be the sole objective of whatever we're doing. And I think there was a good example of it just in the last couple of days right here in River City. Tanya Strickland wrote the piece on me, and I wouldn't say this on the record, but I'll bet she might not have. Well, let's say it was an odd choice for the front page, and she doesn't make those decisions. But this morning's Tribune, Tanya had a piece in about Paso Robles' former chief of police, Lisa Solomon, and how Solomon now has cost the city around $330,000 in payout lawyers and investigation, that kind of thing.
Right.
And this moved forward a story of great importance to the people of this county. Yeah? This is, to me, I mean, this is an apparent gift of public funds from all evidence. And this is what a productive competition for news should be all about. It's the story. You know, it's the reader. Her story moved it forward. I tell you, I read her story word for word, and in one paragraph I saw a brand new angle to this story, which will push it forward even further. This is what newspaper competition should be all about, not sniping at each other just for existing.
Okay, we're gonna move on, and we'll talk about what Tanya came up with Lisa Solomon. And before that, I will say this, though. What's interesting for me is I've obviously been involved with the Tribune as a person that uses the Tribune with my show. I've been involved with Cal Coast News now, and I used to be a columnist for New Times. So I actually did a TV show for KSBY one time. So I've been involved with everything around here. So I just want to let you know, because I got a feel for it. Now,
well, not only that, but now you have come forward and been very transparent.
Yeah, let's talk about, and it was interesting years ago when the sewer thing was going on in Los Osos, and Pandora Nash Carner and what were they called, the Solutions Group, was involved in what was going on with the sewer. I had done work for Pandora as a voiceover guy for commercials, and so I don't know. And then somebody criticized me, and they said, "Well, Benica shouldn't be involved with Pandora and Ash Carner in any way because he works for her, shouldn't comment or whatever." Well, what was weird was I didn't really talk to her about what was going on with the sewer, and. Mm-hmm. I didn't have anything to do with her political aspirations or ideas. I was an independent contractor that got paid to do commercials.
So yeah, and sometimes the lines get a little muddied. I don't think they were in mine. You know, I think if there are any reporters listening right now, I'm sure they would agree that I probably should not have donated a website domain costing $10 or $12 to this group. I shouldn't probably, on reflection, made no effort to hide it, so it was just kind of a silly mistake on my part. But anyway, this issue, I want to, it's going to be moot. I've arranged to sell the domain to the group. So that means, I guess, I'm a businessman and a journalist, not a donator. So.
All right. So let's move.
I hope that becomes a moot point.
I hope so too. Let's move this story forward with Tanya came up with. Here's the thing I don't understand about the Lisa Solomon story, the whole program of the Lisa Solomon story. Yeah. Why is it the city of Paso Robles spent X amount of money hiring somebody to investigate what happened, and the public doesn't have a right to know that what the result was?
Well, okay, let's say the city is saying that we have no right to see it. That's their
stance. That's what they're saying. Yeah.
And they're quoting state law. But what we have here is a situation that doesn't necessarily protect, as the law was originally written to do, police officers, law enforcement, from spurious public attacks that damage their reputation and essentially go nowhere. So law enforcement does have much more privacy in the area of their personal lives, essentially, and certainly their professional lives, and what goes down in their professional lives. So, and that's probably all well and good. I don't know if we can argue that at this point. But the point I would make is that Lisa's actions, if they are true, if they did happen, are, to my mind, so egregious that they report, which has been semi-prepared. The information in that should be made public because, in this case, I think the public's right to know, because the public's putting up probably $500,000 before this is all over and done with. They're putting up a lot of dough for this to help keep something secret from themselves. And I would think if it were taken to a judge and presented properly, I'm no lawyer, but if it could be determined that the public's right to know in this case outweighed any individual's right to privacy under existing law, I would think that that information would be public. And I certainly hope that action happens because, as I said earlier, this is essentially a gift of public funds.
Well, and the thing that's interesting here is, and I understand the idea of protecting the privacy of police officers and all that stuff. Well, however, the police officers involved that are filing suit have made public the fact of what they're accusing Lisa Solomon of, and so because the report might say this is the guy's address, you don't have to include that. I mean, what's the point of that? So what we're trying to do is just say, okay, what's the basic information? I mean, this woman cost a lot of money to the city of Paso Robles for this report. So what did this report come up with? What did it say? I think the people in Paso Robles have a right to know it.
I do too, and we know, Cal Coast News knows, and we've reported on the essence of the allegations from these officers. And the only reason we know this is because they had already talked to the investigator that was named in the Tribune story that's been identified before. So that is not, I mean, I can almost guarantee you that those anecdotal stories or those reports or whatever you want to call them from the officers are in that report.
I'd assume.
Okay, you put three or four of those together. I don't know what the rest of the report says, but that's going to look pretty nasty.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been told, again, I'm not a lawyer, I don't know exactly if this is right, but the fact that the investigation was curtailed and they only got a partial report was that it can still at this point be considered under law to be a draft copy and therefore not accessible to Public Records Act requests.
So as far as I can tell, and hopefully you'll tell me otherwise, please tell me otherwise, as far as I can tell, the $330,000 that the city of Paso Robles is on the hook for, it's irretrievable. Is that correct?
Well, I don't know. Again, I'm not a lawyer. If this was to be determined to be a gift of public funds, then that would only be determined, I would imagine, if we were able to somehow get into the mind or the truth of those who run the city, city manager Jim App, members of the city council, but primarily Jim App and city attorney Iris Yang, why these decisions were made this way. And exactly what types of factors, I mean the true factors, went into their decision-making, what sort of information did they know of that required them in their own minds to put this kind of money out for the purpose essentially of muffling the whole story?
Mm-hmm.
It is rather confusing.
Now, here we have the other two guys, the two officers that have filed suit, one for sexual harassment and the other one for ticket quotas. I'm going to say it this way because that's how I'm going. Let me say it another way. No, I'm not.
Okay,
going to
say it. Okay, first of all, one was a lawsuit and one is a claim preceding a filing of a lawsuit. As
okay.
I understand.
All right. So let me say it this way.
Let's just say there's two of them. Okay,
if,
go ahead.
If they reach an out of court settlement, then all of that will never be made public either, will it?
Well, not purposely. From what I know of these officers' feelings at this point, it's going to take a lot of money for them not to say anything. In other words, they've all said, no, they're not going to take a settlement and be quiet about it. But we all know that somewhere out there is a number that might make you rethink things for a variety of, you know, personal reasons.
Right.
So we don't know if that's for sure. But let's put it this way. I'm a reporter who would be very interested in hearing much more about the story, even if it were to become subject of gag orders and secrecy settlements. Those have a way of coming out. I just wrote a piece on our site about a $32 million settlement that Adventist Health paid off over in the Central Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought they had that secret for a couple of years until it managed to leak into my hands. These things do have a way of coming out, particularly when there's a great deal of public interest involved. Usually people just shrug their shoulders and say, well, gee, that's a waste of money. Too bad. Off they go. But this, again, has all the earmarks of a city deal that doesn't quite meet the smell test, you know what I mean?
Right.
And as a result, it could be the subject of a different kind of scrutiny in the near future that I'm not real familiar with. I would think a lawyer would take a look at this and just call it a gift of public funds and file a lawsuit to that respect. That would open the door for a lot of discovery, I think, and probably open the door for a lot of this information finally becoming public.
All right, we will move to Scolari's closing their stores here in California,
yeah.
Which include Paso, San Luis Obispo, Pismo, and there's a store. The store in Santa Barbara is actually in Goleta. It's a sort of, I don't know how to say this. My wife and I are familiar with the store because we used to work in stores. It's sort of an also-ran situation down there. But anyway, so Joe Scaleri said that the problem was, you know, the economy. First, he says the economy, of course, which is, I think, is affecting people for sure. But then the next thing he said didn't really make sense to me. He said the stores that they have in Nevada are all within a certain, you know, radius of and distance from the headquarters. Well, I say to myself, you know, Walmart has how many stores that aren't anywhere near Arkansas?
Yeah.
And they seem to be okay. They run them. So I don't know. The Scaleri family has been involved with those things forever. And I, you know, it may be just they're saying, you know, the money's not in anymore and it's time to bail out. I'm gonna guess. And
well, it could be the money and the heart. You know, you gotta be wanting to do it. And if it's just getting to be a drag, if there's different family pressures from, you know, different arms of the family to do certain things, nobody knows really what kind of inter-family situations there might be. I know that I'm going to be personally affected, and I should say that right out front because there's a Scaleri's just down the road from me that we shop at all the time.
I'm personally affected because I know quite a few people that work at Scaleri's.
Now, I did hear a rumor about who might take their place. I don't know if we pass rumors along on the air, but...
We can say, I usually say it this way, little birdies have told me, and then we find out if it's true or not.
You might have heard it. In fact, I maybe should save it for the website. No, I had heard that John Spencer was interested.
I would really be pleased for John if he could do it, too. I was thinking,
well, I would, too. I need him to know. I'm not sure if he listens to your show all the time, but I do need him to know that I'm just down the road from that. So, again, I have a vested interest in saying that.
No, really. I guarantee you that the majority of these employees, these 150, 200 employees, that of those that are picked up by restaurant or by supermarkets, I guarantee you John will pick up the most of them. That's because he's just nice. That's what he does. The last time when they had the big strikes that went on and everything, John's the guy that hired people after the strikes were over and people weren't hitting the door. So, you know, he's just a good man. So anyway,
let's hope we didn't just ruin a business deal for him.
We just had little birdies told us. Little birdies. Rumor mill.
That's what I do. I sit here and I listen to tips all day.
Well, you know what's interesting? No, I have to say this. I read this page and I was laying in my bed today. I was sitting in my bed. And I turn to my wife and I say, I wonder if John Spencer could get involved in this because that would be great for John and great for everybody else, I think. So anyway, it's this. Now there's this Nick Tompkins guy from NKT Commercial who they sold three of the supermarkets of the four locations went to him. The Scaleri family had been running the Pismo Beach location, but did Nick Tompkins pick that one up too, I think? Or no?
I'm not sure about
that.
I'm
not sure. But anyway, the three for sure. So anyway, so it was this. What's even more weird is we were my wife was in Scaleri's the other day saying hi to somebody, and it was before they found it was like just within hours before they found out that the whole thing was going south. It's like, okay, now let's move on to other things, sir. We have one of the things that's going on. Oh, here was and this is interesting because I knew nothing in the world about workers' compensation, to tell you the truth, because I don't think anybody really knows about it unless you're an employer or you file, you know, for workman's comp. I've absolutely been stunned, though, having talked to mom-and-pop businesses that have advertised with me, and I've been absolutely stunned at how little evidence someone has to present to collect on a workers' comp claim and how much the rates go up for the business. I mean, a workers' comp claim can actually do a business in, and it's amazing. So the proposal Thursday by the State Insurance Rating Agency may cost employers more for their employees' work-related injury and illness premiums, which are so – and if they have a single claim against them, it's beyond understanding. And the planned rate of increase, 4.1%, is smaller than in previous years, but is expected to ignite yet another political fight around the program. And I really, because I've talked to these people that own businesses, I'm stunned by what their rates go up to if they have claims. And I'm talking about one claim. You could have one claim the whole time you've been in business, and it's like a choker.
And you say it's really easy to make those claims. I've reported on that before, you know, on specific situations where, you know, somebody might come to me with a piece of videotape to show how you know, so-and-so who's out on 85% disability because of back and shoulder injuries, here he is lugging a 50-pound bag of concrete into his backyard.
Right.
And I'll say, you see those kinds of things where the behavior is, you know, pretty public and egregious. And
well, I had a friend. I had a friend when I lived in Los Angeles who he was a private eye, and that's a lot of what he did was work for insurance companies and people like that. And that's he went and followed people around to see what they were doing. And the interesting thing, though, also is that people should know, as long as we were talking about Scolari's as an example, you know, you go into the stores and you see all these cameras in the stores. If you don't see them, you should. But anyway,
yeah. They
got tons of cameras every which way and sideways. Well, it's for two purposes. It's for three purposes. It's to, one, to prevent shoplifting, two, to prevent what they call shrinkage, which is the employees taking stuff, which is different than shoplifting. And the third is to make sure, in case somebody files a suit against them, that they can have a tape that says, okay, this is what happened that day. Did somebody actually fall on their head or not?
Yeah, you can see the person taking the bottle of vegetable oil out, pouring it on the floor, testing it for slip, then taking a little run at it and falling down.
And that's why they do it, and I don't blame them for doing it.
Because, it makes perfect sense. Right. I guess maybe we're not everyone's not as honest as you and I, huh, Bill?
Well, heaven knows we've learned that. Jeez.
Have done that. You know, I hate to bring up Lisa Solomon again, but you talk about easy pickings on what is essentially workers' comp. It would be stress medical leave or stress medical for Lisa for the rest of her life because she's stressed out about the news coverage that reported on her activities, her alleged activities.
But here's what's weird about that. If, in fact, these guys will take these cases to fruition, if a judgment is made against Lisa Solomon, then it must be provable that Lisa Solomon caused her own mental anguish.
I think that only occurs if the city were to contest her claim, and that was part of the agreement, the written agreement, that the city would not contest her claim.
Well, I must say something. That's insane. I'm sorry. That's not even bad business. That borders on insanity.
Why I describe it as a gift of public funds.
Well, that's just amazing. I don't get that at all. That's just completely wrong.
Well, no one
wrong.
Does. That's the interesting part about this whole puzzle. But like a lot of puzzles, maybe with a piece or two missing when it's all over, there's going to be a pretty clear picture of what happened, I think.
Well, I think so, too. Well, let's wrap her up for today. I thank you very much for taking the time, Dan. Dan Blackburn's been my guest from CalcoastNews.com. Don't forget, you can go to CalcoastNews.com 24/7. New stuff hits all the time. And in the upper right-hand corner, there's Talk is Cheap. You'll see a cheap bio of me. And then you can click on streaming audio of KYNS any time of the day or night. I thank you, Dan, for taking the time, and we may be talking again next week.
You bet, Bill.
Have a good weekend. Thank you, sir.
You're creative. You've got bright, innovative ideas, but it seems like the radio group you work for isn't paying attention, right? Why not take that talent where it can be appreciated and put to good and profitable use? The Radio Central Coast family of stations are looking for you, a broadcast media consultant who loves their job because no day is ever the same. Radio Central Coast is the leader in helping local businesses succeed. And we're looking for you, a seasoned radio media consultant ready to help these local businesses grow. We offer a fantastic salary. That's right, a salary, not a cutthroat commission plan. And best of all, a fun, creative environment where our clients are the stars. The only thing we want are radio professionals ready to take their career to the next level. If this sounds like you, send an email to Aaron at RadioCentralCoast.com or give him a call at 786-2570. This is it. Fun, excitement, creative, the career you've always dreamed of. Make the change and join the professionals at Radio Central Coast.
1340 KYNS is your news station, San Luis Obispo, and we have reworked our prime lineup to include your favorites. We would like to welcome back Randy Rhodes and Ed Schultz. We are saying goodbye to Carell and have moved Clark Howard to 8 p.m. To find out about the new lineup, visit us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/1340am. See you there.
where talk is cheap.
Go, Mo. Mo barbecue, please.
Mo ribs, Mo chicken, Mo pork, Mo beef, Mo burgers, Mo onion rings, Mo potato chips, Mo beans, Mo fried green tomatoes.
Mo barbecue, please.
Mo slaw, Mo tater salad, Mo house salad, Mo Cobb salad, Mo Caesar salad, and Mo's Calypso salad. Mo sodas, Mo brewskis, Mo lemonade, Mo iced tea.
Mo barbecue, please.
At Osus in Monterey and San Luis Obispo and at Pismo, it's the bomb. Pomeroy's most bodacious beach barbecue, babies.
Mo barbecue, please.
3 Tesla, 204 coils, 48 simultaneous channels, 5 times faster, 8 times the resolution, and wide open enough to hold a 550-pound person. What does this describe? The new Ultra High Field MRI just installed at San Luis Diagnostic Center. It's the gold standard in diagnostic imaging, previously only available at research hospitals. So don't settle for an outdated closed-in scanner with half the strength when you can choose the new Ultra High Field MRI at San Luis Diagnostic Center. If you live in North or South County, drive a little and get a whole lot more. Lower cost, more comfort, shorter exam time, and image quality never before seen in San Luis Obispo County. For your next MRI, don't settle for an exam on a 10-year-old machine. Insist on San Luis Diagnostic Center's brand new Siemens Skyra. Call 542-9700. The choice is yours.
Karen Scott Audiology, now at her new location, 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320 in San Luis Obispo next to the DMV. Dr. Karen Scott has been serving the Central Coast and the community for over 30 years. What's important to remember is that hearing loss can occur at any age, from newborns to your grandparents. Let's stop the stigma of having to wear hearing aids. With today's technology, new sleek hearing aids are available. Karen Scott carries Starkey, Phonic, Widex, just to name a few. They have the knowledge and the experience to help you with all your hearing aid needs. They also offer clinical audiology as well as industrial screenings. Call her for your free consultation. Call 541-1790. When was the last time you had yours or your child's hearing checked? How about that teen that listens to that loud music or that's not doing so well in school? They could be suffering from hearing loss. Karen Scott Audiology. Call 541-1790 because hearing really matters.
Hearing really matters. Hey, let's talk about that John Spencer, Spencer's Market, okay? Because it's a great place to go for all the stuff that you need, because they got the great, great stuff. Here's let me mention this because it's extremely excellent. Prairie Fresh is a brand, natural pork, and I guess it's natural. And I really like the pork flavor of this Prairie Fresh stuff. So I definitely get my pork at John's. Boneless pork cushion tri-tip right now is $1.69 a pound. And Sunny Roost, which I don't know anything about, chicken leg quarters. We bought some Sunny Roost thighs, and they were tasty to me. Of course, my wife cooks them good, too. Anyway, here's the Prairie Fresh again. Boneless pork sirloin chops for $2.69 a pound. And let me see if we got anything else. Country-style boneless pork cushion strips are $2.49 a pound. So you got all that stuff like that, all that porky stuff. All right, then other things that are going on. They got great things for lunchtime in the deli department. Let me tell you some things that are going on today. And right now you can get an Italian pasta salad for $2.99 a pound, a classic macaroni and cheese for $2.99 a pound. They'll heat it for you. They got a microwave. And then they got whole rotisserie chicken for $5.99 each. I think one's too much for somebody. I think you could share it. And then Spencer's tri-tip sandwich, $4.99 each, is made with Jack Daniel's barbecue sauce and served on a cheddar jalapeno roll. Yum, 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 yum. And then they have the four-day sale that's going on through the Sunday. And let me hit the big ones here. Kettle Brand potato chips right there because, you know, you got the sports around and stuff. You got to watch. Two for $5. And what else? Newton milk is $1.69 for a 64-ounce bottle. So that's important news. And Marie Callender pot pies are 2 for $5. Don't forget, inside you have Indoor Farmers Market all the time at Spencer's Fresh Market, where you can get so much wonderful local produce. They have local red or green lettuce, 3 for 99 cents. They have local green cabbage, 3 for $1. They have local baby bok choy, 2 for a buck. They have local snow white cauliflower for 99 cents. They have local green kale for 2 for $1. So I got the local stuff. Whenever John can get local, he buys local. He's a local kind of guy. Freshness is local at Spencer's Fresh Market. 5 locations on the Central Coast, Atascadero, San Luis Obispo, Santa Maria, Arroyo Grande, and Morro Bay. All right. You know, I mean, I don't mind saying this because this is, you got the Poly, what's it called again? Open House, California Polytechnic State University Open House. And that's this weekend. And so, you know, today's a little poopy, but tomorrow and Sunday should be nice. So I'm really glad to see that for everybody. And then Farmer's Market last night, they had some pictures from Farmer's Market. They had those crazy tractors, the thing they have the tractor pull. It lasted pretty long. I mean, it started raining just before 9 o'clock, but that's pretty good. So you got some Farmer's Market in last night, which was also good for this event. Last thing, if you're visiting your kids over at Cal Poly and you're not sure where you're going, remember the person behind you probably knows where they're going and wants to get around you. Thank you very much. And one other reminder about the rain. This was a year ago, January, this law was passed in California. I'm just trying to keep you from getting a ticket. I don't know the cops. I don't know what cops give tickets for anymore. Speeding, for sure. But anyway, if you have your wipers on, you have to have your headlights on. Now, I suppose you could drive along without your wipers on and not have to turn your headlights on. I don't know. But if one's working, the other one has to be on. Just, you know. All right. Let's see what else is going on. It is it's a pain. We have a pain in our hearts, Nancy and I, because we do know quite a few people who work at Scolari's, and it's upsetting. All right, let me. And Joe Scolari once called me. That's a true story. He called me. We had a chat, and it seemed like a nice guy. But anyway, let me tell you what else was on. Oh, I was going to tell you about today. What wild and crazy stuff! I'm learning that I don't need to watch the Today Show anymore. There's other stuff on in the morning, so news. I got to watch them, a little bit of each. But here was the thing that was interesting. They had on the History Channel, they had a fascinating thing on today about death masks. And you know how, like, presidents and important people had death masks made? And so they have one. They definitely have one of Lincoln. And now what they can do is they can scan it, computerize it, and make it 3D, which is just wild and crazy to see it. I mean, it's just like, well, that's the guy. You know what I mean? They can add eyeballs to it, the right color, and the guy's blinking at you. So they had Lincoln, of course, and then they did Washington. Washington's very interesting. You should have seen the denture things that poor George Washington had. Some of them were just hideous looking. And then the ones he liked the best were made out of, Bill, what did they say? Hippopotamus horn. Because it, I don't forget why, it had has the right, had the right not a hippopotamus horn, hippopotamus ivory. Because it had the right consistency or something. And so he had a set of dentures carved out of that bone. And then they put dead people's teeth in there. And so that he had that. And so it made his face appear quite different, you know, and had that real square jaw affair. But here's the thing. When they took that out, they could see what the dentures would be like out. And then they showed you George Washington. He did. I'm going to be honest with you. The dollar bill, any Washington Cross in the Delaware, he didn't look quite like that. He's a little bit different looking. So that was kind of fascinating. I thought that was really kind of well. They're going to do William Shakespeare, but I got called on the phone. I had to leave. I was there going to find out how he looked. Anyway, but I thought it was really quite fascinating. All right. Other things going on. Well, they had also Julius Caesar. Julius Caesar. And he was like Donald Trump. He did a comb forward, you know what I mean? Because he was self-conscious about not having his hair. And other things that were on another thing that came up on the news this morning on one of the shows was, you know, remember when we just went out and played? Remember when we went out and played? Remember that? We just went out and played. We didn't have a lot of instructions. You know, I don't think we were told not to talk to strangers, you know. When you're in New Jersey, everybody's strange. Why would you bother saying that? So it's, you just went out and played. And you'd be out all from the moment you got out of school until you had to be home when the streetlights came on, you'd be out. So, you know, I'm sort of saying the good old days because it was like that. Now everybody's scared to death of everything. But it was interesting because they took Natalie Morales' son with two other kids and they're doing experiments with them. And then they'll tell them that they're part of this hidden camera experiment. They had an ice cream truck guy pull up and say, hey, you want to come inside this thing, see where the ice cream comes from? And all three of the kids just said, oh, yeah, sure. And then went in the back of the truck. And she actually had tears in her eyes. She was like, I can't believe my son did this. But here's what's weird. We've gone from whatever our life was that we could just go out and play to play dates. You know, it's like a specific thing. It's not like, and it's at a specific place, meaning one person's house or the other person's house with these kids. And it's just so confining. It's just, it's such a different world than you know a lot of us were used to. And you know, and of course the kids are driven to all these activities, you know, and they are, and it goes just as amazing to me. So the kids don't really have a sense of their own freedom, which I think is kind of weird. But here to make it even crazier now, one would assume that somebody would have homeowners insurance and therefore they have liability insurance in their homeowners policy. Would you not assume that if you're sending your kid off to somebody else's house for a birthday party? Now parents are taking their waivers for the people to sign, or the homeowners are making the people that are dropping off their kids sign waivers saying we won't sue you if something goes wrong. It's what we've become. Speaking of housewives and wives and all that kind of stuff and moms, so here's the thing. So Mitt Romney's wife, this woman that's just remotely connected to the Democratic Party, but not to the Obama administration per se. But anyway, it doesn't matter. So let's say she's not remotely. Let's say she's directly involved with the Democratic Party. So she either, A, opens her mouth and puts her foot in it, or B, knows exactly what she's saying when she says that Mitt Romney's wife never worked a day in her life. Mitt Romney's wife, the response to that, of course, is, oh, you're wrong. I raised four children. And that should be the end of that entire story. Now we got the soccer moms and the mom moms and the working moms. They got the big battle out there going. It's like so stupid. It's so stupid. So stupid. It's got nothing to do with what's important about this election. We are having an election, you know. You wouldn't think of it to what you've watched so far. You wouldn't believe there's actually going to be a presidential election coming up. But there is. It's going to be in November. And Mitt Romney and Barack Obama are going to duke it out. So that's really where the focus should be on what's leading up to that. Then I thought, and this is, I'm going to say, I mean this because this is kind of weird. Oh, wait, where is it? Okay, I'll get it. I can find it. This is a little bit strange because today Mitt Romney's talking to the NRA. And then you have these three headlines right in a row. Shooting at Ohio Cracker Barrel kills three. Two shot dead at Alaska Coast Guard base. Police chief killed days before retiring. Like, okie dokie, that's a little rough to platform to be jumping around on right now. So anyhow, that's really kind of weird to me. But that's just what's happening. So, you know, but what I'm saying to you is I really think we have to stop taking the smallest thing and just blowing it completely out of proportion to what it is. It's like, just, you know, relax, get a grip. Just come. People have always said things that were stupid. Was that the lady the first one? And all Mitt's wife had to say is, oh, excuse me, I raised four children. End of discussion. Done. Because everybody, you know, everyone in the world that has raised children knows how much what work it is. And then the people that really understand, the people that have worked and raised children at the same time, they go, oh, my, and heavens knows what their burden has been. So I don't know, what is going on with women right now? What is this battlefield that has women in the middle of it? I don't get it. I got to tell you the truth. I don't understand at all. All right, here's the thing here you want to know about because you got to have some of the inside scoop right here. And this is, I can't help it. This bothers me. I'm not sure why it bothers me. It just does. It just does. Alex Karras, the former Detroit Lions standout who starred in the 1980 sitcom Webster with his wife Susan Clark. So she says she's now suffering from dementia, has joined hundreds of ex-NFL players suing the league over concussion-related injuries. Karras, who also played the horse-punching Mongo in the 1974 film Blazing Saddle, is the lead plaintiff in a lawsuit filed Thursday in federal court in Philadelphia on behalf of him and 69 other former NFL players. Now, I hope, you know, hopefully everybody that gets head injuries doesn't have get dementia right away, because I've had my skull fractured twice, and I've had a concussion. And so three times I've been knocked, you know, I've had trouble. And so and I can't tell if I have dementia or not. There's no way anybody can tell, because I've always been a little bit different. But the thing is that there's this thing about, you know, I put this uniform on, you're going to pay me thousands to millions of dollars to play the game of football, And this is what I expect is going to happen to me when I go out, because it's happened. I've been doing it. Because why aren't they suing the – if they started in junior high school, why aren't they starting with the junior high school? If they started in Pop Warner, why aren't they suing the Pop Warner League they were in, the junior high league, the high school league, the colleges? Why aren't you suing everybody? The NFL didn't necessarily do it, and the NFL didn't do it anyway. Another player that is in the NFL did it to you, that you're a player in the NFL. So if you I would say to anybody right now that's considering going to the NFL, if you're concerned about the fact that you're going to have contact, you're going to have a lot less with the new rules. But if you're concerned at all that you're going to have head contact in any way that could possibly harm you in the future, don't sign million-dollar contracts. Just go off be a plumber or something, you know, or a radio idiot. You know, leave it alone. That's my opinion on that. I'm sticking to it. All right. Then the employers, this is a state Supreme Court came up with this one. The employers can't impose lunch breaks. They must be provided, but employers aren't responsible for enforcing them, the state court rules, which I think makes sense. You know, but then again, so there's this double-edged sword here. If an employee wants to sit there and work during their lunch hour or their break time, the court's saying that's up to them. It's got nothing to do with you as an employer. But, of course, you can't force a person to do the amount of work that would preclude them from taking lunch or their breaks. So you've got that thing, right, that fine line, you know. I mean, we're going to start to get the he said, she said, you know. I didn't have enough time to do all my work without working through lunch. It's coming, you know, it is. This the litigious thing that we're in, you know. It's going to, I mean, if people can have parents, want other parents to sign waivers before they play at their house, you know where this is going. Okay, you know, this is going. Bam. Bam. I've seen about Broadway shows, some of the most unusual ideas for Broadway shows, and yet I saw a review today on a Broadway show that everybody thought would be a stinker, and it turned out they said it was absolutely excellent. And so who knows? But here's the Magic and the Bird. Magic Bird, off the court, onto the stage. Magic / Bird, a play between the relationship between Magic Johnson and Larry Bird that evolved from hatred to deep friendship from 1979 to 92 over Wednesday night in New York. So I don't know. So that's it. That's all I'm saying about that. Here's the different people that are playing their parts and all that. Enough, enough, enough. You know, this Edvard Munch's The Scream sold for it hasn't sold yet. I'm sorry. It's on sale May 2nd. It's estimated worth $80 million. We just had that story yesterday. What are you doing? J.K. Rowling's writing a new book, Casual Vacancy, for adults. The publisher said the black comic tale of a rivalry and duplicity in a small English town would be available worldwide on September 27th. 408-page book will be Rowling's first post-Harry Potter effort. New book aimed at a grown-up audience will be set in a seemingly idyllic English town called Pegford. It opens with the sudden death of a popular man whose unexpected demise shocks the town. The battle for a seat on the local council sets off the biggest war in the town has ever seen. This reminds me, you forget how tedious they were. You forget how tedious they actually were. Alfred Hitchcock Presents is on some station. And so I watched an hour-long Alfred Hitchcock Presents, and was it tedious? Why was it tedious? And the ending, the end was fairly obvious also. So, but at the time that they were new, you know, I used to love to read Alfred Hitchcock short stories. Anyway, other things are going on. Now, this is interesting considering the circumstances of our lives at the moment. Stand Your Ground laws are spreading around the United States, thanks in part to a campaign by the NRA. Many states have extended self-protection rights to areas outside the home. So here we go again. Am I against the NRA? No. Am I against sometimes what the NRA does? Yep. Am I against ARP? Nope. Was I against ARP trying to make it so elderly people didn't have to take their licenses every few years? Yes, I was against that. It doesn't make sense to me. So you have things that on the surface they're fine, and in a lot of areas they're fine. I mean, the NRA is responsible for more safe gun handling classes and people learning that than anybody else in the whole wide world, except maybe the military. but then I'm not sure about that. But anyway, the stand your ground law is really strange. It's completely strange. It begs to have vigilantes taking over in areas that they shouldn't take over. So that's it. Now, North Korea's rocket fell apart. So much for a big deal, you know, goddamn rocket, and UN's raising hell, and the thing went up about 10 feet, and I went farther than that, but anyway, but it all broke up. You too can have a North Korean break apart rocket, because, yeah, what's it going to do except fall in the ocean? And now, I'm getting tired of being compared to baboons and gorillas and whatnot. You know, I understand the whole evolution thing and all that. But, you know, after a while, it just gets old, I'm telling you. But here's the thing. Author says baboons recognize written words. They don't just memorize. They recognize letter combinations. So, if, for instance, they can recognize done and vast, and yet they know that telk or vert are not words. Scarry may help explain how reading evolved, researchers said, bolstering the theory that the skill first arose from animals' ability to distinguish objects rather than from the uniquely human demands of verbal communication. So this guy, Jonathan Granger, who's a cognitive psychologist at the Natural Center for Science and Research in France, lead author of an article and all this, his work generally focused on primates of the human sort. His usual guinea pigs are university students, which is convenient, you know what I'm saying? You know, the one thing you have to have when you want to have when you want to have experiment on something, you have to have a blank mind. He studies to ascertain the elementary process people use to decode individual words. Have you ever seen that thing? Anybody ever send you the internet thing that as long as the first letter and the last letter of a word are what they should be, or at least have another letter in the word, your brain just decides what it's supposed to say. They can be non-words. They can be absolutely non-words, and yet you can read entire paragraphs, and your brain knows how to do it. And there's no question that some monkey did it first, and so then they said, well, that's how come we can do it. Dang monkey. I've been to the Atascadero Zoo. They mostly throw their own poop. That's what they do. The baboons got a wheat reward if they pressed the correct symbol, but the monkeys proved quite able, learning to discern dozens of words interspersed among nearly 8,000 non-words with almost 75% accuracy, which is at least as good as the average, one of us. It's not just memorizing, Granger said. It's picking up what we call these statistical regularities. Certain letter combinations appear more frequently in words than in non-words, which we have to guess, even though who can understand what a non-word? I guess that makes sense, a non-word. Could you not have a letter combination in a non-word that the baboon would say? That's probably the 25% mistakes they make, is that they have the letters in order for a regular word that are a non-word. I'm just trying to figure out, how do you fake out the baboons? You know what I'm saying? Because we must, otherwise the rise of the apes and all that stuff will have terrible things up before us. Our weather wizard says it looks like a little sunshine right now. So maybe our rain's done. I don't know if it's done or not. And they said we were going to get a half an inch. We got a half an inch in 8 minutes earlier today. So I don't know what we finally got, total rainfall. But we made a dent in this big problem we've had. And weather wizard says over the weekend, tomorrow, it could even rain tonight, maybe even thundershower. But tomorrow should be sunny, but not real warm, 60s. But the next day, Sunday, in the 70s, and all next week pretty much in the 70s, is the guess at this moment from the weather wizard. All right. We're going to join CBS News on 1340 KYNS San Luis Obispo. And then, will we have Jim D. from the Palm Theater.
CBS News, I'm Pam Coulter. The attorney for neighborhood watch shooter George Zimmerman wanted a cooling off period before asking for a pretrial release, but that issue is heating up already. CBS's Peter King in Sanford, Florida.
Attorney Mark O'Mara had said that yesterday was the wrong time to ask a judge to let George Zimmerman out of jail, but now a bond hearing scheduled for that purpose for next Friday morning. Yesterday, he said that he was worried about Zimmerman's safety, and he wanted to make sure that he would have a safe place to stay if and when he gets out of jail before the trial.
Attorneys and the judge held a teleconference today. The defense plans to ask the judge to recuse herself because her husband works with a lawyer who's been hired as a TV analyst in the case. Presumptive GOP presidential nominee Mitt Romney is assuring gun owners he will protect their rights. In a speech to the NRA convention in St. Louis, Romney said President Obama has tried to curtail gun rights.
This administration's attack on freedom extends even to rights explicitly guaranteed by the Constitution.
North Korea's rocket launch was a bust, but it's still making waves, U.N. Ambassador Susan Rice at a Security Council meeting.
The, quote, launch is in violation, direct violation, of Security Council Resolution 1874 and threatens regional stability.
The U.S. has already canceled plans to send food aid to North Korea. Thousands of Syrians are taking to the streets across the country today. Activists say three demonstrators have been killed during the two-day-old ceasefire, but for the most part, it appears to have taken hold. CBS's Pamela Falk at the UN.
Several Security Council nations are anxious to get the UN approval to get the monitors into Syria to try to keep the fragile peace, such as it is, with some continued attacks by the Syrian government.
Charges have been filed against the two men in custody for an Easter weekend shooting spree in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Three people were killed and two wounded, all of the victims African American. KOTV reporter Lori Fulbright.
They filed three murder in the first degree charges, two counts each on the men of shooting with intent to kill. And then the question everybody wondered was, would they file the hate crime statute as well? And they did.
Police say 19-year-old Jake England and 33-year-old Alan Watts have confessed. Could be a rough weekend in parts of the U.S. National Weather Service forecaster Rush Schneider says a severe weather system could spawn tornadoes and massive hail.
It will be focused in Oklahoma, Kansas, and Nebraska, but there is additional risk for severe weather in some of the surrounding states, Iowa, Missouri, and Texas, as well as portions of Illinois.
He says there is potential for a lot of damage. At the close on Wall Street, the Dow was down 140 points, NASDAQ off 44, and the S&P was down 17. This is CBS News.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just partway. We go full throttle. We won't just sell you some oil. Oh, no. We'll sell you a 5-plus quarts jug of Castrol GTX conventional motor oil and a DriveWorks filter for just $19.99. Plus, you walk out of Advance with a free John Force racing hat valued at $20. A free $20 hat? You're only paying $19.99 for oil. What gives? Actually, Advance does.
Advance Auto Parts.
See store for details.
Every so often, the stars are in perfect alignment, and during the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Sales Event, now is that perfect moment. For a limited time, get 0.9% APR on the Certified Pre-Owned Lincoln of your choice, which comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Sales Event, exclusively at your Lincoln dealer. APR varies by term. Not all buyers will qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services Limited Term Financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 4/30/12. See dealer for qualifications, limited warranty, and complete details.
Primates may be smarter than you think.
Reading is fundamental, even if you're not human. Baboons are showing some potential. They've been trying to get the hang of it. A French scientist sat the animals in front of computers and would put groups of letters on the screen. When a baboon named Dan saw letters like I, T, C, S appear, he tapped a signal to show that those didn't make up a word. And then the letters K-I-T-E were displayed, and Dan hit a green button indicating that that is a word. That's the first step in learning to read, to recognize recurring patterns. For his efforts, the big baboon got some dried wheat as a reward. Dave Barrett, CBS News.
Parisians take the Eiffel Tower and tourism very seriously, so police in the French capital arrested a boutique owner, her husband and son, for selling copies of the famous landmark without a permit. Authorities confiscated 13 tons of mini Eiffel Towers and say the family was illegally raking in more than $1 million a year. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
State Farm, this is Jessica.
Hello, Jessica. Jerry Newman calling. How much could I save by combining auto and home policies?
Well, you could save over $750, but remember you dropped us?
Bummer, because I just combined my auto and home.
Jerry, did you miss the garage again?
The garage door and the front door look so similar.
Save an average of $750 when you bundle your auto and home policies with State Farm. Get to a better state. Call 1-800-STATE-FARM today. Average household savings based on 2010 National Survey of New Policyholders reported savings by switching to State Farm.
Right now at the Home Depot, take 10% off all special order Anderson windows, patio doors, and accessories. Savings like that put Anderson's famous craftsmanship well within your reach. So reach out, come in, and save. The timing is perfect. and special order Anderson windows, patio doors, and accessories are all 10% off. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through April 22nd, U.S. only. See store for details.
Happy Friday to you. Worked your butt off again. Happy Friday to you. Go get drunk with all your friends. By Sunday after you've been on a bender, your boss's face you barely will remember. Happy Friday to you. Have a great weekend.
Hey, kids, remember, lots of adults and kids too paid admission to enjoy the show. We must insist on absolute quiet.
Jim Dean from the Palm Theater with Bill Benica, and this is we haven't named it yet. Is really the truth, and we're going to come up with a really clever name for this segment called "Movies with Jim D at the Palm Theater." Hi, Jimmy.
Bill, great to see you.
Nice to see you, young man. Hey, and of course, the Palm Theater now has the all new Digitalis Fujimunga equipment. You know, so it's
In one screen. Anyway.
Oh, in one screen, and then we got the old fashioned stuff, so you can hear the reel in the background going. Okay.
They both look good.
They both look good. They're very fine. All right. Can you get everything on one reel, or do you ever have to say where it says reel two and you have to run over to another thing?
Oh, a standard movie, the old 35mm, we're talking six reels, 5 to 6 reels. Each reel of film, 20 minutes. 20 minutes of...
Really?
Yeah, if you see that standard size reel, it runs through the projector 24 frames a second, 90 feet a minute, if you want the stats. And one of those reels is 20 minutes. In the old days, they used to have two projectors side by side. You get to the end of one reel, and remember, you know that little dot you ever see in the upper right-hand corner? Yeah. Well, the first dot means you got 10 seconds to the end of the movie. That's when you start up your other projector with a 10-second countdown. And then when the second dot hits, you hit a little button and the projector switches over.
You know what this is like? This is where, you know where Jim D got his practice doing that? Is at KCPR radio. Right? Segway music. You know, if you did it exactly right, you'd be right. And probably this thing, the same thing. If you're a little bit off, you're going to get some kind of a pause in between, or you're going to get an overlap.
Yeah, well, the early days of the Rainbow, we did it in that way. And that's the way it was done, you know, I would say prior to, I don't know of a date. But and here's an interesting thing. If you were to go up to the Fremont Theater, up to that booth, or any booth in an older theater, they used to use that method. Every 20 minutes, you have to change over the reel. They made you put a bathroom in the projection booth because the guy has to be there, or I should say the man or woman has to be there. So they need to have their own bathroom. What do you think about that?
I'd give them a milk bottle and say good luck.
No, if you go up to the Fremont booth, that's the way they used to do it. So every 20 minutes, he or she has to be up there, and therefore they have to have a place where they can...
But I have sympathy for that, and I'll tell you why. Because remember, we had the bomb shelter at the old KVC on Walnut and Choro Street. We had the bomb shelter in the back.
Yeah.
And the FEMA people came, and when Diablo was being licensed, I had to go through all this yucky-mucky-pucking with us. Oh, it drove me crazy, these people. But anyway, they gave us Geiger counters. They gave us dosimeters. They gave us all the stuff and showed me how to use it all. Like, why do you assume I'm going to be the guy that's going to be here? But that's fine. And then I said to them, they gave me C rations. They gave us like C rations, and they said, okay, you can last for like 2 weeks. I go, okay. So here's the thing, the two things that I found very disturbing. The first thing I said was, so the idea is I go out with this dosimeter on, I come back, and I see if I've just killed myself. Is that it? Or can I get a little mechanical dog or something that I can strap it to and send it out there with a remote control? Why do I have to go out there? I go, well, that's the only way we know how to do it right now. I go, well, the other thing, too, that I'm looking around in this room is if I'm going to be here for 2 weeks, where do I go to the bathroom?
They had
no idea. They looked around. They go, don't know. Use a trash can with something. I don't know what you're supposed to do.
They treat projectionists better than radio
that's
announcers.
Right. They certainly do. It's always been that way. All right, we got lots of crazy things going on, and we got lots of new movies at the Palm. We got we got a folder roll here. We're also going to talk about some of the stuff which we normally do that's going on in the big cineplexes and find out what's happening there. Three Stooges. Did you see it?
No, I haven't seen it, but I think we talked about this. This film has been in the works for years. I want to say at least 2-3 years. There was a time when there was going to be big stars. I actually think Sean Penn was signed up to play Larry. I could be wrong, but there was going to be big stars in this. And then I was thinking it was going to be more of a biopic, you know, about the Howard brothers, Moe, Curly, and Shemp. But this is just sort of a recreation of the Three Stooges. And it's kind of interesting what they're doing. It got a PG rating. And, you know, people, I'm sure you can look at Three Stooges humor as somewhat lowbrow, let's just say. Okay. However, you know, instead of descending into the bathroom humor and the sexual humor, it sounds like they've made the film for kids. It's rated PG. And the preview looks kind of fun there. I think what they're trying to do is just recreate what the Three Stooges did in all those shorts back in the 40s and 50s. Of course, the Three Stooges, you know, were hugely popular in the 40s and then sort of went by the wayside. And then when television came along and they were playing all those shorts on TV, their career was completely resurrected. And then I think it was in the 50s and 60s where they made a number of movies, Three Stooges Meet Hercules, Snow White, and the Three Stooges, and so on and so forth. So their career went through some very interesting changes and stops and starts. But this new film just looks like it's a recreation of what they were doing.
All right, and so we'll add this to that.
Right. Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Okay, we got the whole thing there for the Three Stooges right there in a nutshell. All right, now, I read another review of this one, and this is in the Big Cineplex, and this is the one that is a horror movie, and it's Don't Get Caught in a Cabin or something.
Cabin in the Woods?
Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be spooky.
Yeah, it's getting good reviews. I haven't seen it. It just opened today, I believe. But as far as, I think I read two reviews of this, and they're saying, you know, how many horror movies are there? This one apparently, it's getting some good reviews, and instead of just being another cookie-cutter horror movie with gore and blood and stuff, this one's supposed to be pretty good.
And young teenage bosoms.
Perhaps. I didn't read about that.
No, Scream and all those crazy things they did, you know. It's always the girls. For some reason, the girls are in a haunted house, and then there's something after them with a tooth, ice pick, and they decide, now's the time to take a shower. I never quite figured that out exactly, you know what I mean?
Well, that one's getting good reviews, Cabin in the Woods. And there's so many horror movies that come out all throughout the year. You know, I mean, there'll be a bunch of them in October, usually, you know, 3 weeks before Halloween. But it seems to be a genre that just keeps on ticking, so to speak. But this one's supposed to be quite good.
Okay, Guy Pearce is in this thing, Punches and Punchlines. And actually, it's called Lockout. I'm sorry, I read the headline from the Tricket. This is Lockout. So, and I think Guy Pearce is a good actor.
I do too.
And and they've rated it. They've only given it two tickets in this thing in the Ticket magazine, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about it. I don't know if he's in prison or if he's a cop.
Well, I know a little bit about this.
Oh,
his job is to try to break out a girl in a prison that's in space.
Oh,
and then they're threatening if they you know, anybody tries to mess with the prisoner, they'll crash the whole thing into the earth. So he's going to have to get that thing.
Boy.
So I was talking to Mike on the phone the other day about this because we talked about the fact that, I think Guy Pearce, the first thing you really saw him in was, took notice, was L.A. Confidential.
Yeah, before that, interestingly, I saw L.A. Confidential and I thought, where have I seen this guy before? I knew I'd seen him. Well, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. He was one of the three gay guys who go around the outback and perform, and there's Guy Pearce.
And then they have, and then he did, and we talked about this movie, was like, you know, you can only do the time machine so many times before it's just going to fall on its face. And he was in the one that wasn't so great, but he was a good actor. He was good.
Well, have you seen Memento, the one that runs backwards?
No.
Oh,
Could my brain do that?
You've
known me a long time. Could I handle that?
This film is fun to watch, and it's by Christopher Nolan, who is now known for the Batman movies. He did Dark Knight, and the new one, Dark Knight Rises, coming in this summer, which is probably going to be the biggest hit of the summer next to the Avengers. But this is an early Christopher Nolan film. Guy Pearce plays a guy with short-term memory. I mean, he can't remember what he did 2 minutes ago. The film runs backwards. Okay?
So it's kind of like the Seinfeld episode where they went to the wedding in India.
I don't know that one.
Oh, okay. They went to so what they showed was they showed this end of this part of the wedding. Then they said 2 days before. Then they said 2 days before that, and they did it backwards.
That sounds like maybe it was an original idea, but maybe they were inspired by Memento.
I would imagine, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Memento starts out where Guy Pearce is, I think, killing a guy. But the point is like the crux of the story is he's looking for the person who apparently murdered his wife. Well, if you got short-term memory and you find that person, well, you keep looking because you forget that you got the person. I mean, it's maybe I'm getting you all mixed
up.
No,
I understand. No, I absolutely understand what you're saying.
But check out Memento. It's fun to watch, and it runs backwards.
Now, this is not the same thing at all, but it reminds me of the movie that I absolutely thought was charming. I have to tell you, I like the movie a lot, and people would go, Benica, that's the problem with you. You don't know anything that's good or bad. This was 50 First Dates.
Oh, was it
Adam Sandler and who's the actresses whatever her name is.
It's not Drew Barrymore, is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen that.
And I thought it was just very cute. And then plus the fact that they have that Hawaiian guy that sings Somewhere Over the Rainbow, which is one of the greatest recordings of all time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they have that in there. Nobody can pronounce his name, so we're not going to try.
We just call him Iz. I think Iz. Yeah.
But anyway, but it's just a cute movie. It's about a girl that has memory loss also, and so she meets Adam Sandler, and then the next day she's like meeting him all over again.
That's right. You know? That's right.
And the father's really suspicious about him, you know, and like, you know, what are you trying to do? And it wasn't one of these slapstick, stupid Adam Sandler movies. It was really a shot at him saying, okay, I can actually do this. And I have to tell you the truth, I think he did pretty darn good at it.
He can be so funny. Yeah, I mean, you go back to some of the Saturday Night Live stuff. He's pretty talented.
But this was really kind of interesting because it wasn't trying to do that with him, you know. It was just sort of saying, okay, this is a guy that legitimately has fallen in love with this girl, and yet she has this problem that she has to re-meet him every day.
Mm.
That kind of thing. So it was really good work.
Check out Memento if you can, because it's a real brain twister.
All right. Let's do this. We're gonna take a break, and then we're gonna come back, and we got all the stuff that's happened at the Palm Theater, and I don't know what's this weekend like when they have Royal whatever's.
We'll see. It's usually more of a competition. I know there's a lot of people in town. I just kind of realized the last couple of days it's what we used to call Poly Royal weekend. But I tend to think that if parents are in town, they're going to go up to the campus, and then they might go out to dinner. They usually don't have time for a movie, so it doesn't really help me out that much.
Yeah, I would think not. That's probably true.
A little more of a competition than anything else. But it's great to have the town filled, you know?
Yeah. I was going to ask you something else about that, but I can't remember. Now, here's something I was going to ask you before we take a break, because I don't know if I've ever asked you this question directly. Did you start the Rainbow Theater?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So you came out of Cal Poly and said, I got to do something. And I was in that broadcast booth at KCPR, and I realized that's a stupid idea to do. I really want to make a living. So you said, okay, I'm going to do a movie.
Yeah, the Rainbow Days, that was 1979. We opened in July of 79. And then let's see. Well, the Downtown Center wasn't there. I think the Fremont, I don't think, had the Mission Cinemas next door. I mean, there were very few.
No, the Mission Cinemas weren't there.
Yeah, so very few screens in town. Of course, we lost the Obispo Theater.
But the Obispo Theater had already been lost.
In 73.
Yeah. So
what a loss.
Yeah, that was interesting. So that's interesting.
Yeah, it was, I think it was the Moore Coffee House before it became the Rainbow. And before that, it was called the Morrow Club Card Room. It was a bar way back when.
And you know what's interesting? Remember there was the movie theaters before they redid the Madonna Plaza. There was a movie outfit out there.
Yeah, the Madonna Plaza Theater.
I would call it the Madonna Plaza Theater, being it was a Madonna Plaza.
Yep.
So anyway, but this was, I don't understand, I never did understand the Madonna Plaza Theater. It could be the biggest blockbuster in the world, and you'd go in line, there'd be three people. And you say, where are they?
Well, what I think, you know, when the Downtown Center came in, They came with seven screens, and there were four, the Fremont and the Mission, there's four. And then the Madonna was three more. So there's seven screens. And I think that's why they came in with seven screens at the downtown center. However, when you've got 14 screens in a town the size of San Luis Obispo, the Madonna Plaza Theater felt the most, and it went out of business. So the owner of Madonna Plaza Theater was John Rausch, and he runs the Park Cinemas up in Paso Robles and does very well up there, apparently.
I try to remind people of this little tidbit of information that people may not be aware of that Benica is, and that is originally the whole Madonna Plaza was going to face the other direction because of the wind that come down the Los Osos Valley.
Oh.
And because remember how when the downtown center was going to come in and everybody was going crazy. And this is back when the French Brothers first were starting the process, and all the people, Charles Schulz, all these people were going crazy, going, oh, God, it's going to ruin the downtown. We'll all be lost and all that.
Mm.
And so what was interesting was, they were like, okay, what happened was the economy just, the economy crapped on the French Brothers and they couldn't finish it.
Mm.
The bank said, okay, no more money. That's when the savings and loans went belly up. But what's interesting is that Madonna, there was a lot of pressure from the downtown merchants when the Madonna Plaza was being built. So they said, okay, we'll turn it around. And that's really why it faced, because when you go to the Madonna Plaza, you say, why would you face it this direction and have the wind blow the old ladies over when they're trying to get into Sears?
Huh.
And that's why.
Interesting.
See that? And that is the rest of the story.
Hey, kids, remember lots of adults and kids, too, paid admission.
We already heard from that guy. Let's try this.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat. The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Charter Internet is keen on giving you more. Not a little more, a big more, as in more speed. Which means more streaming hoops, more celebrity scoops, more posts, more boasts, more webcam, more Cousin Pam. By delivering more speed, we make the web more fun. Moreover, it doesn't cost more. To learn more or sign up today, visit charter.com/freefast. Increase for Express and Plus customers only. Service not available in all areas. Other restrictions may apply. Your favorite word is not rutabaga, shimmy, or Xanadu. No, your favorite word is free, because it makes other words better, like guilt-free, termite-free, and faster internet speeds for free. That's what Charter customers just got, allowing them to feel footloose and fancy-free as they download more freely. Don't have Charter Internet? Feel free to sign up at charter.com/freefast. Increase for Express and Plus customers only. Service not available in all areas. Other restrictions may apply.
Jim and I are talking. I'm trying to figure this thing out over here. I've had head injuries. We talk about the head injuries. Alex Karras is suing the NFL for head injuries.
When I was driving, you were talking about the person who played Mongo in Blazing Saddles?
Yeah, that was him. Alex Karras.
Oh,
and he was a good football player, and people liked him, too. But what are they, 60-something football players are suing the NFL?
Wow.
It's like, did you not know you were going to get hit in the head?
Oh.
I mean, did you not know?
Wow.
Anyway, so I find it very strange. But let's get to some of the things that are going on at Palm Theater. Now, we have new things going on, and one of these things right here that I want to talk about is, because we got some great stuff going on, we got some, they read, I don't believe in reviews anyway, but they read them three bangers. This is The Raid Redemption.
Ooh, okay. This is a film from Indonesia, and we're talking about action from beginning to end. And it's pretty darn violent and brutal and bloody, okay? But it's a big hit. It's like this drug lord is in this building, and this elite force SWAT team hits the building, and they've got to get rid of this drug lord. Well, it turns into this action extravaganza, which has been, gets great reviews, but it's not for the squeamish. They've compared it to Die Hard a lot, and looking forward to it. I've had a lot of requests for this one, but it is a no-holds-barred action film with a lot of blood and gore.
blood and gore.
There you go. But it's supposed to be, you know, one of the best reviews, I think, was in New Times this week, where they talk about a lot of the action films these days, they build up to some incredible action piece near about three-quarters of the way in. They talk about this film from beginning to end is like these action sequences that are unbelievable. And so we'll see how it does. It's not really, you know, I mean, we try to show all kinds of films at the Palm. This one, we don't do a whole lot of stuff like this, but it had a lot of requests, and it is from Indonesia.
And so do people die in it?
Lots.
Okay, well, here's why. Because it's very interesting when they do these movies of violence and craziness. And you see, you know, a lot of people, you know, get missed altogether. People get wounded, maybe. And then a lot of times nobody ever gets hit by anything. You know, it's kind of like, well, are you serious? I mean, come on. You know, you're right 2 feet away from the guy. How could you miss him?
Yeah.
Okay. And I got to thinking about, there was some movie I was going to mention to you that it was a kind of a silly thing that they, I forget.
Well, the body count in this one is pretty high, so... But if you want to be grabbed by the nape of the neck at the beginning and have an action extravaganza, The Raid is the one to see.
There you are, The Raid. We're going to see that. All right, this is the other new one at the Palm, and that is Forgiveness of Blood. This sounds bloody, too.
Well, no, this is an interesting film. We've never shown a film from Albania, of all places, but this is where this film is from. And I almost kind of compare it to A Separation, the film from Iran that we played a few weeks ago won the Oscar from Tehran. This has to do with a family, and there are these laws, these ancient laws in place where sort of an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth sort of thing, where one of the kids in this family, well, does something wrong, and therefore these ancient traditions just sort of ruin the kid's life, where he just has to stay home. He's sort of an enemy sort of thing. Now, I haven't seen the whole film, but it looks pretty interesting, won some prizes, some great reviews of this one. I'll be honest with you, I'm not expecting a huge turnout, but I just found it interesting. We've never shown a film from Albania.
All right.
That may not be a reason to show a film, but that's where it's
that's
from.
That's a good reason, because nobody, I just say Albania. Go point to that on a map, and everybody goes, wasn't it?
It's near Greece.
Greece, near Greece. That's all I know. Yeah. That's what I knew, was near Greece. Now I find Greece on the map, Panica. Okay, here is the, there was a cute little thing on the news the other, last night, and there was a young kid out of East L.A. He's 9 years old, 9-year-old boy in East L.A., and so his dad, the kid just likes to do stuff, so the kid made, took cardboard and made this little arcade. And I guess this is on the internet. I guess you can see it on YouTube. Have you seen this?
I saw it on the news.
Oh, you saw it on the news. Okay. So then somebody donated $100,000 to this kid for his college education.
Oh.
It's just fascinating. You
yes.
know? But here this little guy had all these people show up, and they did one of these, what do they call them, when everybody gets together and they jam together and a whoop, whatever that is, a flash mob. They flash mobbed this kid.
Oh.
And that was really cute. But anyway, how fun.
Yeah.
Good
I mean,
for him.
Hey, our kids are our future, and if they have a talent, you got to nurture them.
I see some kids, that makes me really nervous. All right. Jiro Dreams of Sushi, once again. And Nancy and I are definitely going to get in to see this one, because I just have a feeling it's going to be really kind of special.
It is.
And we have this. We have a sushi lunatic, is basically what it comes down to. An old guy that just can't stop making sushi.
Yeah. We talked about the review. It was great. And the fact, and, you know, very slowly but surely, people were coming to see this and really enjoying it. And we had a very, again, a nice review in New Times of this one. But this is like the sushi master, the sushi black belt, let's call him, where he, you know, the highest level that you can make sushi, he's always trying to get there.
But what's interesting is I got the impression that he doesn't try to overdo it. That he does things fairly simplistically, but perfectly.
Perfectly. It's like you have to massage the octopus for 45 minutes to make it so it's edible, that kind of stuff. And so the whole thing here is the apprentice to learn all this is Jiro's son. And, you know, you talk about, you know, a level you got to get to where your dad is the greatest sushi maker in the world, and you've got to learn all this stuff. So it's a really fascinating documentary, and it'll make you hungry, definitely, unless you just don't like fish.
I'll tell you, this is how lazy I am. I figure the octopus, being equipped the way it is, it should massage me. That's what I'm telling you right there.
There you go.
All right, then we have salmon. Speaking of fish, salmon fishing in Yemen.
Yep, we've had this. This will be our third week doing very well with this. Again, the director of Chocolat, Cider House Rules, and way back when.
Who's in this movie? Because I think I recognize somebody, didn't I?
Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
Emily Blunt.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Kristen Scott Thomas. And it's about stocking some waterways in the Yemen with salmon and teaching them how to fish. And Ewan McGregor is a fishing expert. He's a scientist, but he also is a fishing expert. It's a charming love story. It's really good. It's beautiful to look at. And we've had a really good turnout. So this is our third week.
All things are wonderful at the Palm Theater. They always have been. They always will be. And that's the way it is. And so even though Poly Royal's going on this weekend, you may want to be doing that. That's fine. But starting Monday, we're going to have good weather. It's a great time to get out. Shows start at 4:15 in the afternoon. And you can go to the Palm Theater. It's got the solar power. It's got the great popcorn, the great Sody Pops, and the great people that work there, quite frankly. And I mean, I'm going to say that sincerely. They smile. They're nice to you. It's like, you know, what you expect out of Jim D's Palm Theater, and you get it. Jimmy, thanks for coming today.
Oh, my pleasure. It's always good to see you on a Friday.
All right, and hopefully we'll get together again next.
Oh, you bet.
All right, sir. Happy Friday 13th.
Oh, thanks.
Let's talk about the Drake.
It's so weird. Every time I turn around, somebody's talking about Drake.
Isn't Drake the duck?
Yeah.
Hey, what about Sir Francis Drake?
Famous English explorer and maritime navigator.
How about the Toto Drake?
Now you're talking. In my book, that's the best Drake of all. Toto's Drake toilets are ultra water saving, excellent flushing, have extra tall seats, and Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has them in stock at really great prices.
I know you love Toto toilets, Pops. That Drake sounds like a winner.
It flushes like a champ, it's easy to install, and it's made by Toto.
So folks should navigate their way down to Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath and get one of those ducky Drake toilets?
Very clever.
That's Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, home of the Toto Drake toilet, behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
Your business will work better when you work with Coastal Computers. Coastal Computers is here for small business. It doesn't matter whether price is your first concern or your last. Service is Coastal Computers' first concern, and that includes your successful, user-friendly, and painless operation. Really, computer networking where the tail doesn't wag the dog. Coastal Computers is known for making the tough stuff easy. They've been doing it for over 25 years with lots of happy clients. And they're worth a call. 543-9047. 543-9047. Coastal Computers. Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. Call 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com. People in the business of letting you get on with your business. Call 543-9047 for Coastal Computers.
Charter Internet is keen on giving you more. Not a little more, a big more, as in more.
just like the Dodgers on the field. Your car is a finely tuned machine. Keep your car running Dodger smooth at Black Road Auto. You can save money on all types of car repair, foreign and domestic. With over 20 years of experience in transmission and car repair, Black Road Auto has over 15 acres of classic and hard-to-find auto parts. When you need your car repaired, transmission service, or auto parts, think of Black Road Auto. Black Road Auto, 1500 Black Road, Santa Maria, or call them at 346-2770. That's 346-2770.
1340 KYNS is your news station, San Luis Obispo, and we have reworked our prime lineup to include your favorites. We would like to welcome back Randy Rhodes and Ed Schultz. We are saying goodbye to Carell and have moved Clark Howard to 8 p.m. To find out about the new lineup, visit us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/1340am. See you there.
Oh, hi, Jessica.
Hi, Mrs. Johnson. Is Megan there?
Sure. Follow me. The kids are in the kitchen making sandwiches.
Hey, Julie.
Hi,
Megan. Hey, Megan?
Yeah?
You're a total freak. God, you're ugly. And dumb. Oh, and your makeup makes you look like a tramp. Tommy Morris told me you guys made out. Oh my God. Everybody knows. The whole school knows. He said your breath smelled like garbage. And that dress is totally hideous. You look like a big fat clown. Disgusting. Oh, and by the way, nice zit.
If you wouldn't say it in person, why say it online? Delete cyberbullying. Don't write it, don't forward it. For more information, visit ncpc.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Being kind is cool.
Being kind is cool. That's right. It's going to take a while. It's going to take a while before it to sink in because people, I don't know what's happened to us. We've become crazy people. And so it's going to just be harder and harder all the time. Hi, you're with Bill. This is Talk is Cheap, your Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYNS, your news station. And this is Talk is Cheap. And it's just my opinion of stuff in the world, and it doesn't mean it's right. It just is. But, again, you know, okay. Well, I'm not going to get into that again. I already talked about it. I'm not going to talk about it again. Let's have our politics accomplish something. That's all I want to say. Let's have our politics accomplish something. Let's have the people that are speaking on behalf of or through for themselves say something that makes sense to all of us. Thank you. Okay, other things are going on. Other things that are happening in our world today, and I want to mention them to you. I had another story up here that was a breaking news story. Where is this one? Oh, I thought I had another breaking news story. I did. What happened to my news story? There's that one. Oh, here it is. Oh, my gosh. I don't know what this is about. But here's the story. Because this man's beloved. So anybody that spreads a bad rumor about this guy, people just get all upset, you know, as you may imagine, because it's Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman says, I hadn't heard anything about this. Morgan Freeman says, no, I'm not marrying my step-granddaughter. Is this like the news of the world, or is this, you know, one of those Inquirer jumps? The rumor mill has been churning with this one for quite a while, and now Morgan Freeman has issued a statement denying the gossip that he's been planning on marrying his step-granddaughter. Back in 2009, the National Enquirer, oh, it is the National Enquirer, okay, ran a report that he'd been seeing his stepdaughter, a then 27-year-old Dina Hines, for 10 years, and the rumor continued this week with a claim that Freeman intended to marry Hines. On Thursday, the Oscar winner went on the record about what he called fabrications regarding his love life. Both the 74-year-old star and Hines, the granddaughter of Freeman's first wife, Jeanette Adair Bradshaw, released statements refuting the claims. The recent reports of any penny marriage or romantic relationship of Me Too anyone are defamatory fabrications from the tabloid media designed to sell papers, the twice-married Million Dollar Baby star told CNN in a statement. What if even more alarming is the fabrications are now being picked up by the legitimate press as well? It's such as it is, the legitimate press. Adina Hines told CNN that these stories about me and my grandfather are not only untrue, they are also very hurtful to me and my family. See that bullying thing we just played? All right. Freeman said Bradshaw divorced in 1979 after 12 years of marriage, and he and second wife, Myrna Coley Lee, divorced in 2010. This is after he got in a car accident with somebody else in the car. You got to watch out in these trains, planes, and automobiles thing. You got to be careful because if you have an affair and you got the person with you at the time, it can end up bad for you. I'm just telling you. I'm just trying to advise you.
Just trying to
Well, this is something I know we're all going to perk up and pay attention to. More unusual wear found at San Onofre. Another reactor's tubes have degraded rapidly at plant shut down since January. Southern California Edison said in a statement that investigators at the San Onofre nuclear generating station found additional damage on tubes in its Unit 2 generators, similar to degradation in sister reactor Unit 3 and its brother reactor Unit 1. Investigators have been puzzled why tube damage appeared different in the side-by-side units, even though the equipment is essentially identical. So maybe, you know, maybe we don't really understand everything there is to understand about radioactivity and what it does to when using it to generate power and what it actually does to things. Is that possible, or do we know it all at this point? Apparently not. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a surprise to them. They should, you know, this is what I would do. I'd say face fuzz. I'd go, well, we expected that in this particular case because, one, while it mirrors the other one, is in some ways not quite identical because of the Fravastat and the Rebus that had to attach to the Schlatzefretzen. So and the Sprolinator got broken. West prepares for dangerous wildfire season. Drought conditions, low snowpack, and high temps may lead to many blazes, as we can well imagine. But here's the weird part. The states that are burning down at the moment is Florida. They got fires everywhere in Florida. It's just like it's insane. And you have to know that some of these are started on purpose. I mean, they have to be. You can't have that many fires and not have some started on purpose. It's a strange thing when people do that. I mean, it's one of those things. You know how I've often said to you, when people do really weird, weird stuff, and they get sent to a task, go to a state hospital, they get sent to prison, whatever the case may be, we never find out why, unless you take a psychology class or whatever. You don't find out why their brains have them do that. But I'd like to know. I don't know. Maybe I can Google it. Pyromaniacs. And maybe it'll tell me what it is in your life that makes you want to set fire to things and destroy. So I don't have a clue. It doesn't make any sense to most of us. I gotta get on the internet. The authority overseeing efforts to build a high-speed rail system in California approved its revised business plan on Thursday, sending the ambitious project to an uncertain fate in the legislature. Let's see where we're going now, boys and girls. California High-Speed Rail Authority voted 6-0 with two members absent to approve its latest plan. 2 hours of public comment preceded the vote, most of it favorable toward the bullet train. Union members touted the project as a way to create much-needed jobs in a state that has battled double-digit unemployment for years. Critics targeted the project's $68.4 billion cost. The amount is $23 billion more than the amount sold to voters when they authorized the project in 2008. Because, you know, when you wait and 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 wait, as many projects have on the Central Coast, they become more expensive. So in a way, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. You know, you realize, because if you take tax money and you employ people, that's good news in its own way, and they put the money back in the economy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But then, of course, they are able to pay more taxes back to the state. Now, this is kind of a good. This is a feel-good story. This is like good news. Nearly 20 years after Los Angeles was shaken by one of the worst outbreaks of civil unrest in U.S. history, residents say the city is safer and relations between its racial and ethnic groups are significantly better than they were back in 1992. Most also say L.A. is unlikely to see riots in the coming years like those that swept the city after the acquittal of the four LAPD officers accused of the beating of Rodney King. The survey by the Center for the Study of Los Angeles at Loyola Marymount University suggests, however, that many Angelenos are relatively pessimistic about the city's overall direction. You know, I don't live there now. What direction is... I lived in L.A. I never thought it had a direction, to tell you the truth. If you had said to me when I lived there, what's the direction is this city taking? I go on. I don't know. I still don't know. Here they decided to put an ad in here. Consumers get breakthrough diet pills before just overweight. Somebody becomes grossly obese. And here they have a guy. They have a guy right here. How much does this guy weigh? They're not telling you. But here's a guy that weighs easily 400 pounds. They have a dog down here that weighs 200 pounds. So that's kind of like, okay. So they're saying if you're a little bit overweight here, you know, 14 to 24 pounds, that's stage one overweightness. Want to know what these are? Stage two is body type. Is stage two is obese, and it's 25 to 39 pounds overweight. Stage three is obese, and it's 40 to 59 pounds overweight. And then stage four is extreme obese, and it's 60 pounds plus. So there you are right there. So in case you were trying to keep track of, you know, where you were, there you are. And if you take this, pill, your worries will be over. Actually, what's really weird is they are actually working on a pill that's going to help you lose weight, help us lose weight. And it's but it hasn't been approved or anything yet. It's still being researched. All right, let's talk about what other things are going on. Tenuous calm in most of Syria. UN is encouraged by progress, although clashes continue. Troops have been drawn. They're like, well, if we get enough of a ceasefire, maybe we get the... Here's what they're saying. That maybe we get some UN forces in there to enforce the ceasefire. UN forces have not ever enforced a ceasefire anywhere successfully. So I don't know why they think that's going to work. But okay. Here's the thing here. Western Summit looms in Colombia. Why they would have it in this place, I have no idea. A Navy helicopter patrols over Cartagena, Colombia on Thursday before Western leaders arrive at the sixth summit of the Americas in the port city. U.S. President Barack Obama will head there Friday for the meeting whose very location reflects the broader economic and security gains in the hemisphere. I don't think we have broader economic and security gains in that part of the hemisphere. Here's the logo. Connecting the Americas, Partners for Prosperity. It's so far, it's always been one-sided, us. You know, they supply the drugs, we supply the products. But maybe it's changing. I don't know. Cartagena, holy cow. All right, let's get on the horn today and say hello to, hello.
Hi, Bill, this is Ivan calling, Treasure Ivan.
Hi, Treasure Ivan, what's up, man?
Well, I just thought I'd give you a peek in the treasure box for this weekend for my program.
Yeah, do it.
Okay, we're going to do Gerald McBoing-Boing. You know that one?
I remember Gerald McBoing-Boing.
There it is. That's the idea.
Yeah.
Gerald McBoing-Boing was an Academy Award-winning short cartoon, which was based, in fact, on the record that we'll be playing on Saturday and Sunday. We're also going to have Gossamer Wump, narrated by Frank What's-His-Name, who was the Wizard of Oz. And finally, the big one is we've got Daffy Duck's Feathered Friend, which is, if you like Daffy Duck, this is consummate Daffy Duck.
You know what's interesting when you bring these things up? I just get a crack up out of it. What's funny is to go to the Turner Classic Movies and to turn on some of these old movies, even if you don't really care about what movie it is, but to see these people that you saw that were the iconic characters like in like The Wizard and the Wizard of Oz playing other parts.
That's right.
And today I was watching Alfred Hitchcock, an old Alfred Hitchcock mystery job that used to last an hour, and the lady that played Grandma or Mom, I forget which, in The Grapes of Wrath, with Henry Fonda, she was in this also sort of as a grandma, I guess. And
that's great. And a lot of these records have the same kind of thing. You'll find people with small parts who went and did much bigger things afterwards and like that. We're going to have Frank Luther also, who was considered the Bing Crosby of children's music during the 40s.
Really?
Did lots and lots and lots of records. And we got him, and we're going to have Woody Guthrie, because we love Woody Guthrie on our show.
Gerald McBoing-Boing was... Are you sure it was just a single cartoon?
No, that's right. It became a TV show at some point as well.
Yeah, it did. It became a little TV series, yeah.
But this is the original. This is the record. It was a record on Capitol Records that Alan Livingston had a lot to do with. Alan Livingston later went on to actually make the purchase of the Beatles in 1964.
Go ahead.
He also wrote "I Taught, I Taught, Putty Tat," a wide range of a living. I think he did, you know.
How very interesting.
Yeah.
I was going to ask something, and my brain went blank. So don't worry
That's
about
fine.
It. That's fine. It just goes. It does that all the time. It's not a problem anymore. Anyway, so Treasure Ivan's on this weekend. What time?
It's on Saturday at 1:05, and it's on Sunday at 5 o'clock. 5:05.
All right. So for okay. old, for great old memories, and actually, if you have kids or grandkids, you should really drag them to the radio. And
I
say,
think
oh,
so.
Hey,
yeah.
Listen.
I mean, you know, their attention span goes pretty far with this, and we like to say that. The whole idea of imagination is not the size of your plasma TV. It goes way further than that. That's what we cater to.
Well said, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, Ivan. I appreciate it.
I'll talk to you again. Thanks a lot, Bill.
Have a good weekend.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Treasure Ivan. What a nice man. We have about 7 minutes before the hour two, seven before two. I've never, like I said, Friday the 13th has never crossed my mind as anything but Friday. I'm just always happy it's Friday. You know, I enjoy my weekends too. And so I don't care what the number is. Just make it Friday. If it was Monday the 13th and that was the thing you're supposed to be superstitious about, I could understand that. You know, Mondays, you don't get off to the right start anyway sometimes on Monday. So I can understand where that might happen, but that's not what it is. All right. Other things going on. Do we have, let's see, what I didn't understand this exactly. Bike path plan for school. City expects to begin construction in June on expanded route between Sales Smith Elementary and Laguna Middle School. Two-way 12-foot wide bike path is planned for the northbound side of Los Osos Valley Road between Ocean Air Drive and Laguna Lane. Construction is expected to start in June and wrap up before school starts in August. In addition to increasing safety, city officials hope the dedicated bike path will encourage more children to ride their bikes to school. This project has the potential to make a tremendous difference in the lives of students. The only thing I don't quite get, can I be honest with you? Well, I guess if you look at the housing that surrounds Laguna Middle School, Laguna Junior High, and if you had a pathway to that you could go to Ocean Air and go to C.L. Smith, I guess you know there's enough kids in that one chunk there that might make a difference. Otherwise, they make it sound like, and I got to say the truth, they make it sound like it's a bikeway that's to be used between Laguna Middle School and C.L. Smith, which makes no sense because the kids who go to elementary school aren't going to go to Laguna Middle School and vice versa. But I see what they're sort of getting at, I think. All right. Phil Dirks over the hill. Counting change going out of style. He went to the airport and he said, let's see, the least you can spend to park is a buck. So I remember the days when a parking meter in Paso Robles cost 5 cents. Back in those days when it was a wonderful world.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Thanks for joining me this week for Talk is Cheap. Back on Monday on 1340 KYNS at noon. Until then, may all your trails be happy ones and don't believe everything you hear here because...
This is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Bye. Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.